chapter number 9. If you're able to stand, we'll read just a few verses of scripture and then have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 14. The Bible said there was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there were found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Father, I ask you to bless the reading of thy word tonight. Thank you for the good singing, the offering. We thank you for the missionary family here with us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of your people. And I pray now that you'll bless the reading of thy word, speak to our hearts for the next few moments. And may you get glory and honor for all that'll be said and done. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention to this story here and this parable that Solomon gives. And you'll notice the first phrase of this parable where Solomon makes this statement. Of course, Solomon being the wisest man outside the Lord Jesus that ever lived. But he makes a statement here, a phrase. He said, there was a little city. And I want you to think about this little city for a few minutes tonight. And I want to preach on this subject on lessons from a little city. Lessons from a little city. Now Solomon is quickly to draw our attention to this little city. And I want you to think about, first of all, the size of this city. I mean, this is not a metropolis. This is not like Los Angeles or San Francisco. It's not a city like New York or someplace like that. And we have seen those cities, flown over those cities, and they are mesmerizing as you look over them. They can be overwhelming as you go through them, but that is not the size of this city. Solomon points out the fact that there was a little city, and so he talks about the size of this city, and then there's the significance of this city. You know, when we read this text, we could speculate as to whether or not the city that Solomon is speaking about, whether or not it is a literal city, or whether or not it is a specific city, perhaps even one that Solomon ruled over, or even if it would just be a part of this parable. There is much that we could speculate about it, but there's one thing that we do know about this city, regardless of what others' commentaries and people may say, is we know that this city has great significance in the scriptures and in what Solomon is talking about. So there is the size and the significance of this city. But then there is the site of this city. And what I mean by that is that what matters the most in this text tonight is not how others view this city. I mean, you read after one person, they say that this would be Jerusalem's. Others would say that it would not be. Some would say that it would just be a part of the parable. But when we think about it, it doesn't matter how others view this city. What matters tonight is how Solomon viewed this city. I mean, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived outside the Lord Jesus. And how Solomon sees this city, I think, is important because there's great lessons that can be learned from it. And I want to say tonight that Solomon could have viewed this city. He could have took a personal view tonight, meaning that Solomon could have seen himself as the man that's in this text concerning this city. And then Solomon could have took a practical view tonight. He could have seen others that was in this city. And then Solomon could have took a prophetic view. He could have looked down through the annals of time and seen one coming, a greater Savior, a greater wiser man than he himself. And I want us to think about that tonight. I want us to look at this as Solomon would see it tonight and view the lessons that can be learned from this little city. First of all, I want you to note a personal view. Let's look at it through the eyes of Solomon. If Solomon sees this city tonight in a personal view, then he sees it as himself. Amen. Now, how does this match up? How does Solomon see himself? You know, when you and I look at the Word of God, we're to always take whatever the interpretation of that text is. We're always to take a practical view, but we're always to view the Word of God in light of ourself. Isn't that right? That's why the Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, in right, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So how we view the city tonight must be viewed in a personal manner, as Solomon may have viewed it. Solomon sees himself as the man that's inside this city, and he sees himself as a despised man. Look at verse number 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. You see, when Solomon views this city tonight, he sees himself as a wise man, and certainly Solomon was. And Solomon sees himself wise enough to keep this city from danger. But the only problem is that no one really cared. I mean, after this poor man goes in and he delivers this city, and the Bible says here that his words, his wisdom, they were despised and they was not heard. And Solomon sees himself as the king of Israel. Solomon provided the nation with such wisdom. He had led them in a good path. Israel had prospered much besides because of that. But now Solomon has come to the end of his days, and it seems as if people really don't care. And so Solomon sees himself as a despised man. And then Solomon sees himself as a deluded man. You see, death is about to take Solomon, and his wisdom could not deliver him. All that we know and all the wisdom that we have cannot deliver us from death. Isn't that right? His nation is no longer listening to him. They're waiting for the new king to step on the scene here. And Solomon understands that at least as far as the 10 northern nations there, or 10 northern tribes, Solomon understands that those that do not listen to the wisdom that was given, that they are fools. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. I mean, you cannot instruct a fool. You can tell them what the Bible says. You can try to give them some help, but they already know everything, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And friend, you and I have got to be careful that we don't become like those that are in this city that no longer care and no longer hear the wisdom that God has for us. Amen. And so Solomon sees himself as a man that is giving wisdom to people that don't care. I've seen that before, even in preaching. Be somebody in the church, or maybe somebody that you know that their life is in trouble, and you're trying to help them. Not that I don't know anything. Can I be honest with you? I don't know anything tonight. I just know what the Word of God says. And I don't know everything about this Bible, but I do know the Bible's always right. Amen. And when you get up to preach, I'm not up here tonight to try to tell you something that I think or something that I believe or something that I know, because I'm like the Apostle Paul. He said, by myself, I know nothing. Amen. And can I tell you, you didn't come to hear what I think tonight. You only came to hear what the Word of God says. Amen. But the tragedy is that there's some people that they have set under good counsel, they have set under good wisdom, not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. They've heard good Bible preaching all of their life. The only problem is they don't take heed to it. Amen. You see, it's not enough to just have a King James Bible, and it's not enough just to sit under good Bible preaching. Your home can go to shambles, your children can go to hell, your marriage can fall apart, sitting in a good church just like it can in a bad church. Amen. But somewheres, you got to do what the Bible says when it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. That puts the responsibility on the you and I as individuals that we must listen to what is said. Amen. I want to say tonight, Solomon sees himself as the despised man, the deluded man. He sees himself as a dangerous man. Notice what the Bible says in verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But look at this. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Perhaps Solomon saw himself as the greatest sinner of them all. For it would have been the sin of Solomon that may have brought the nation As wise as he was and as much as good as he did, his own sin, the taking of all of those wives and the not ridding of the high places of the idolatry, perhaps his own sinfulness was the one sinner that destroyed many. You know, that is true tonight. It's true about a kingdom, amen. Jeroboam made Israel to sin. According to 2 Kings chapter 22, he made an entire nation to sin. Jeroboam did with those golden calves and that idol worship, amen. Listen, it's true in a church. Someone can get in a church and bring sin in a church and can destroy a church. And just one sinner can rip a church apart. Amen. You know, adultery will destroy a church. Isn't that right? It destroys a home. It destroys a marriage. And it destroys a church. Amen. I'm telling you, very few churches have recovered over adultery once it gets in. I'm telling you, when it gets in, listen, I'm just telling you tonight, you got to cut it out like a cancer. Amen. It's going to be painful. It's going to require some surgery, and there's going to be some loss in the process of that. And listen, that ought to put fear in every one of us, amen. But one sinner can destroy, amen. It's true in a family. One person in that family can rebel against God. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a young person, but one person can bring the whole family down if they're not careful, amen. Just one sinner can destroy, the Bible says, much good. Amen. In the circle of friends, one person can bring an entire... Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen it as a pastor. Where one person... There's been times I have prayed, dear God, if them people don't get right, if that person don't get right, would you move them out of this church? And Lord, if I'm wrong in even saying that, would you deal with smote my heart? And I'll never pray it again. And I'm going to tell you tonight with my hand toward heaven, I've seen God do it more times than none. Sometimes people leave and say, why don't you go after them? Because it's an answer to prayer. I'm not going to run anybody off. I want to help everybody, and I'll help people to the last mile of the way. Can I get an amen right there? It's not for me to decide who stays and who comes, so all I know to do, but when I see somebody reaping havoc in a home and possibly could reap havoc in a church, the only thing I know to do as a pastor is say, God, get them right. But if they ain't going to get right and they're going to take down two or three good families, Lord, I just ask you to move them out of the way. You say, well, that's not right. Then pray for me, amen, because I've been praying it for years, and I've always said, God, if I'm wrong, put me under conviction, smote my heart. You know, he's never done that, not one time. You know why? Because, hey, sometimes God sends people, and sometimes the devil sends people, and sometimes the devil gets in people, amen? And one sinner can do much good, or can destroy much good, amen? I'm saying tonight, we don't need to run people off, but we need to pray, and we have to be careful, amen? And you hear me tonight, don't make sure you're not that sinner tearing people up. Don't tear your home up. Don't tear the church up. Don't tear up other friends. Be careful the advice you give, because listen, wisdom is better, the Bible says. You know, the best counsel we can ever give people is what God said in this book. Don't read stuff off the... Lord, help us. I got to move on. But don't read a bunch of junk off the internet and start believing that. I know more people read parenting tips off the internet than they do their Bible. They don't know what Proverbs says about raising children, but they know what the internet says. They know about all that gentle parenting and soft parenting and all that mess, amen. All you got to do is look at that liberal, loose generation and how they're doing, and look at the generations that raised their family according to the book of Proverbs and the Bible and did what the Bible said. Them children turn out a whole lot better than the world, amen. Am I telling the truth tonight? I'm just telling you, don't read everything that comes down the pipe and swallow it. We live in that generation where if it sounds good, people think it's just the right thing. And I'm telling you something, what sounds best is the Word of God. Amen. I may be outdated as far as this society is concerned, but I made my mind up by the grace of God. We raised our children this way. We kept our home this way. I'm pastored this way all these years. And I'm going to tell you something, it still works. Amen. It may not be popular and it may be too plain for this world to swallow, but I'm telling you, the greatest wisdom and the best wisdom we know is the wisdom that comes from God's Word. Amen. I don't even want to operate on my feelings tonight, because they can deceive you so much. And there's a personal view. Then let me move on. There's a practical view. Wisdom is better than strength, Solomon says in verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Learn learn tonight to be learn to follow the wisdom of God's word, because you're going to need the wisdom of God's word to make decisions in life. It's better than strength. Don't do it within your own ability. Don't do it within your own self. There's no strength within ourselves, but there is strength in the word of God, in sound wisdom. Wisdom is better than sound. Look what he said in verse 17. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the crying of him that ruleth among fools. Amen. You see, it's not the loud, boisterous people that we ought to give ear to. Amen. Remember, the word sounds really loud when you put them behind a monitor, behind a microphone. It sounds like they are the majority, but it doesn't really matter tonight. Real wisdom comes from quiet places. You know that? The Bible said to be still and know that I am God. Amen? You know where you're going to find wisdom? In the Word of God. You're going to find wisdom in prayer. You're going to find wisdom getting alone. Amen? You've got to detach yourself from the technology. If you got to detach yourself from society, you got to detach yourself from all the cares and the affairs of this life. If you're going to find answers for life's problems, you say, what do you mean, Brother Graff? I mean, just get a King James Bible and find you a closet or a quiet place alone with God and spend time with the Lord and pray about the things and the decisions of life. And I promise you this, in due season, in due time, God will give you the wisdom. He'll give you the answer that you need when you need it. Amen? Amen. There's some things tonight that if I was to try to go home and figure them out, can I just be honest with you? I'd sit up all night long. And come morning, I'd about lost my mind. But I've learned this much. I don't have the answer, but God does. And I've learned that God will not give me the answer until it's that appointed time. Sometimes He may let you see some things, but He won't give you the answer till it's time. Amen, to make that decision. Wisdom is better than sword and spears. Look what he said in verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Amen. The battles that we face in this life, we're not going to win them with our own ability, with our own strength. We're not fighting an enemy tonight that we can see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? So we need the wisdom of God's word. Young people, memorize the word of God. Memorize it by subject and learn it. Amen? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And keep it memorized. Amen? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Go back and quote it. And quote those passages that you know and categorize them by subject. Put them in a little notebook. Amen? I've done that for years, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't do that for preaching. I do it because it gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. I do it because that's the only way you're going to overcome the devil. Amen. You say, well, I struggle with my salvation. Learn some verses on eternal security. Amen. I struggle, amen, with other things in life. Whatever it is, learn some verses, amen, that goes against that teaches you. And listen, there's strength and there's soundness in the Word of God. And I would say tonight, that when it comes to wisdom, it's better than the weapons of this world. Amen. We don't need the world's weapons to win the warfare that we're fighting. There's a practical view tonight. And the book of Proverbs chapter 1, 2, and 3 is all about what? Getting wisdom. Getting understanding. Read your Bible every day, because in it is the wisdom that you and I need. And then finally, I want you to notice here, there's not only a personal and a practical view, but there's a prophetic view. And I want you to look at this very quickly. Consider the place. There was a little city. It's a small city. I think about Zechariah 4 and verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Amen. Don't underestimate this city just because it's little. Amen. Because it was a little meal in a barrel, and it was a little oil that was in a cruse, and it was a little maiden that helped Nahum, the captain of the army, amen, of Syria, and it was a little lad that had a little lunch, amen. Don't despise the day of small things, because little is much whenever God is in it, amen. It was a little cloud the size of a man's hand that brought the abundance of rain, amen. God don't need a whole lot. God can do a lot with a little, and God will love and God will protect little things. Amen. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Amen. And so there is the place. And then there is the people. The Bible said there was few men within it. Matthew Henry said these men were few and they were feeble and they were fearful. Amen. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7, very well, this could be talking about Jerusalem and Israel, because the Bible said the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And there is a little city here and a few men within it. But I want you to see not only the people, I want you to see not only the place, but look at the person. The Bible said there came a great king against it. You know who this king represents tonight? He represents the devil. Amen. And the devil's always the enemy of God's people. He's always the enemy of the Jews, and he's always the enemy of the church. Amen. He wars against the church right now, and he hates the Jews. And during that tribulation period, what's he going to do? He's going to come against that city. Amen. He's going to come against that nation. They'll be the fewest of all people during that tribulation time, and the devil's going to come against them. And then consider the problem. The Bible said here that they built great bulwarks against it. This city could not overcome this great king. But look at verse number 15. Thank God, I want you to consider another person here. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. Here's a city that's in trouble. Here's a city that cannot help itself. Here's a city tonight that cannot do anything for itself. There's a great king that's going to come and that's going to overtake it. But thank God, within inside that city, you know what there is? There's a poor, but he's a wise man found in it. This man doesn't have an army. This man doesn't have weapons. This man doesn't have a big name as far as inside this city. In fact, listen, he's just obscure in who he is. Reminds me of the Lord Jesus. Amen. When he came to this earth, he came and walked among this earth. And the Bible said that he made himself of no reputation. Amen. He didn't, even though he was a king, he didn't come into this world as a king. Amen. He didn't have an army. He didn't have a whole lot of, he didn't have no weapons. But you know what he had? He had wisdom. Amen. And Jesus Christ walked amongst this earth, and the Bible says here that he was poor, and by his wisdom the Bible said he delivered the city. Amen. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was yet was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. I remember, thank God, of a time and a day the Bible talks about when a poor man came to the city. Amen. He was found in the city. He was found in Jerusalem, thank God. And just outside of Jerusalem, on Calvary's brow, he went, my friend, with the wisdom of the centuries and with the wisdom of his father. He went to the Calvary's hillside, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died. And thank God he delivered them. Amen. And he delivered me, and he delivered you. And you know what? One of these days, that great king the Bible talks about, the devil, he's going to come down to that valley of Jehoshaphat, and this poor man's coming back. Amen. But when he comes back, he's not coming back as a peasant. He's coming back as a reigning king, and he's coming back with a great army, and he's going to deliver this city, and we're going to be with him. Amen. And hallelujah, on that day, he'll defeat all the armies of this world, proving that he is all together lovely. Hallelujah. And he won't need a weapon on that day neither. You know how he's going to destroy the armies of this world? Revelation 19 said, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. You know what that is? It's wisdom. With his wisdom, with his words, he'll smite the nations, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to wear those kings and captains and armies out with just the very word of God. You know what that proves to us tonight? The same wisdom that's going to defeat armies is the same wisdom tonight that we hold in our hand. It's the word of God. We ought to cherish our Bible, shouldn't we? It's first of the year. There's Bible programs, Bible reading plan out there. If you need one, you ought to read through your Bible. Read it every day of your life. No matter your age, no matter who, if you say, well, I'm just a small child, you ought to read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Because what this text proves is that the wisdom of God is the deliverance of man. It is also despised by man in verse number 16. It's discerned by man to be greater than all things, and it's man's greatest defense tonight, God's Word. As we think about this service as it comes to a close tonight, the emphasis in our text is on a poor man that delivered a city by his own wisdom. And I think the greatest lesson we can take from this text tonight is this, is that you and I do not have the ability to withstand the devil tonight. But we know someone who does. You say, well, how do I get his wisdom? You already got it right here in this book. The Bible tells us that we are to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're to read the Word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We're to memorize the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study the word of God. And then we are to declare the word of God. We are to give it to others, to preach the gospel to others. But then the Bible says we are epistles that are written and we are known of all men. We are to live the word of God. What we read, what we memorize, what we study, God said, when you go out in society and in your homes, God said, you're to live it. Isn't that right tonight? You can memorize chapter on chapter, but if you don't put it in shoe leather, it won't do you no good tonight. We have to apply the Word of God. I will give you this challenge as we stand.